All right, Shlomo, we're ready?
Yeah.
Okay, Shlomo said we're ready. This week we have a doubleheader parsha. Very exciting. But only you don't get double sandwiches for that. It's Parshas Chukas Balak. In Israel, it's only Parshas Balak. We finally catch up to them this week. But I'm going to focus a little bit on Parshas Chukas. Parshas Chukas starts off, Zos Chukas HaTorah. We know that mitzvahs are divided into two categories. There are chukim and mishpatim. A chok is a mitzvah that we do not understand the reasons for, as opposed to a mishpat is a typical mitzvah that we understand. Right? We understand why it is that we shouldn't kill people. We have a good understanding how come it is we should respect our parents. Right, there are many mitzvahs that make good logical sense. On the other hand, we don't really know why we walk around with a palm frond and a citron and shake it on a certain days of the year. Right? Why do we wear black boxes? Who knows? But the ultimate chok, Zos Chukas HaTorah, is the chok of Parah Aduma. The fact that if somebody becomes ritually impure by coming in contact with a dead body, the only way that that ritual impurity can go away is if they, in fact, go and they are sprinkled with the ashes of a red cow on the third and seventh day of the process by which they become ritually pure. This is a mitzvah that makes absolutely no sense. In fact, Shlomo HaMelech, the Medrash tells us, knew everything, but he could not figure out Parah Aduma. And as such, right, this is Zos Chukas HaTorah. That being said, it's a very important mitzvah, meaning that if we ever have hopes of doing the Avoda and the Beis HaMikdash, if we have, we hope to 3 weeks start a week from today, we're going to focus, of course, on the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. If we're going to have Kohanim bringing Karbanos, if we have people going to the Beis HaMikdash, they will have to be ritually pure. And the only way they can become ritually pure is if we have these ashes of the red heifer. And right now, we don't have it. Therefore, as you might have expected, there are people out there who are working very hard in order to produce a red heifer. A few years back, I went to the stock show here in Denver, and it was one of the things that I was very interested in, the stock show. I tried to get Jeff Auerbach to go with me, but he didn't bite. But I think I ultimately took Terry with me, actually. She went to the stock show, and there were a few things I learned, but one thing I was looking for is this idea of how rare is it to find a red heifer? And I was very, very disappointed because among the things they do at the stock show, I'm sure I'm the only guy who finds this so Kiddush, is they have these presentations where people present their steer, their heifers, etc., and they get graded. And among the things they get graded on is based on color. I was shocked, I tell you, to find out that they spray paint them. You go back there, these empty cans of spray paint. It looks like you're walking down the street in the Heights. You know, get all these empty cans of spray paint out there, and they paint the cows. Right? You want a red one? No problem. You want your name on the side? I was shocked. Anyhow, so the idea is that to find a genetic red cow is something that is very rare. There's something called the Temple Institute in Eretz Yisrael, and they have been focused on this. And I present you an article from a very respectable publication, of course, the New York Post, which in September of 2018 came out with the following article entitled "Prophecy Fulfilled After Red Cow Is Born at Temple of Israel." Now, again, it wasn't born at the Temple of Israel. Temple of Israel sounds like a Reformed congregation. It was born at the Temple Institute. And the dates are off, etc., but you get the general there. It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. An all-red heifer was born at the Temple of Israel on September 4th. It was actually born on the Temple Institute on August 28th, because we want to celebrate. fulfilling a biblical prophecy to reinstate purity to the world and the rebuilding of the Holy Temple, according to the temple's YouTube announcement. You can't trust that. What can you trust? The sacrifice of a red heifer is essential to the construction of the third temple in Jerusalem, which would bring the coming of the Messiah and the final judgment. The Temple of Israel wrote, the heifer is currently a viable candidate and will be examined to see whether it possesses the necessary qualifications for the red heifer. What happened to this red heifer, you ask? What's going on? So the halacha is, as we'll see, that in order to do the process of the burning of the red heifer, it has to be at least 3 years old. And while it is rare, it's not impossible to have a cow that's born totally red. But over the 3 years, the problem has been inevitably it has grown the two hairs that are not red, which in fact make it invalid. Therefore, I believe 3 months ago, the Temple Institute came out with another video updating us on the two red heifers, how they're doing. Inquiring minds want to know. And in fact, the two red heifers, according to them, are still red. And if everything progresses as expected, in a year from now, they hope to burn the cow in a ceremony which would give us the Efer Parah Aduma. That is the plan. That is what they hope to do. You can look at no better source than YouTube, under which they go and they give you the update as to how it's going. What would allow us to go up there and start construction? Not only that, but there are several carbonos that you could bring without a base on Migdash, notably carbon Pesach. Who's going to tell us? I think doesn't it say to bring carbonos in the Torah? That's telling enough for me. What do you mean? What's the indication? It says in the Chumash every year on Pesach, he has to bring a carbon Pesach. Right? The fact that we happen to be coming and we can't doesn't change the rules. The obligation is the obligation.
We can't do that now
because we are ritually impure. Right? Yes. It would be able to take care of the entire Jewish people for, I'd say, at least 100 years.
Whoa.
One cow.
That works for me.
Well, to bring the carbon Pesach? Absolutely not. Why do we have Pesach Sheni, I ask you, Jenny Rapp? Right? If everyone had to be pure, we would never need Pesach Sheni. Clearly, that's not necessary. So, that is the question is, assuming they've got a winner. Let's say, right, will we be standing here next year discussing that Parshas Chukas has suddenly become relevant? That is the question I'd like to deal with tonight. So, we'll start with the first Pasuk in this week's Parshas. It's actually the second Pasuk. It's the first pasuk, actually. It's pasuk beis because last week's parsha ended with pasuk bala. It says, Zos chukas ha-Torah asher tiva Adonai le'mor darer b'nei Yisrael v'yichvo lecha fara aduma tumima asher ein ba mum asher lo la'ho. You have to take for yourself a para aduma, a red heifer, tumima. What does the word tumima mean? Perfect. Now, generally, when we talk about karbonos, when we talk about tamima, what we mean is tamim without a blemish. However, here, Rashi explains tamima has a different connotation than it does in other karbonos. It says the word tamima goes together with the word aduma. It doesn't mean that it has to be without a blemish, but it has to be unblemished red. Rashi says in number 3, Aduma Tamima, Shete Tamima Ba'ad Mi Musa. Shim Hayu Ba, Shte Sarash Choros Sua. If it has even two hairs that are, here it says, has black, but it has to, if they're either black or white for that matter, right? And either, hence the black and white cookies that are given out, I assume, right? Any one of them would pass. So the first thing we need to know is that it has to be completely red. A. B, it says, Asher ein bo mum. So therefore we see, that's why Tamima didn't mean that. Asher lo aleha ol, has never carried a yoke. Right? It has to be a kolonik cow, never worked a day in its life. That's what we're looking for. How much work is too much work? What? So in fact, if you look at the Mishnah in Parah in number 4, it says, Kol hamumim haposel bimukdashim posel bapara. Rachav aleha, if I rode on the cow. Nishan aleha, if I leaned on it. Nitla biznava, if I hung something from its tail. Abba sanar, kipa aleha esam melsera, nasam talisa aleha psula. If I even put my talis down on the cow, that's it. That's already work. Again, you have to be very careful. Make sure this doesn't do any work whatsoever. So we're looking for a cow. It has to be perfectly red. And it has to be that it never worked a day in its life. The first Mishnah in Parah goes on to explain a little bit more. It says, what is the age that we require? Rabbi Elazar, Omer Ekla Bashnasa, Upar Bashnasayim. So Rabbi Elazar says, once it's 2 years old, it's not Chachamim Omer Edva Bashtaim Par Bashlosh O Bas Arba. He said that the Par Aduma has to either be 3 or 4 years old. Rabbi Omer Af Bas Chamish Kshera Azikena Yizkira She'en Mamtinu La Shema Tashke Ela Shelo Tifson. He said technically that even the age of 5 you're allowed to, but we don't wait too long because practically, over time, the longer you hold on to this cow, the more of a possibility that there's going to be an issue that's going to develop a hair that's the wrong color, or someone will accidentally lean on it. So these are the basic rules what I'm looking for in my cow. It has to be a certain age, it has to be a certain color, it has to be unworked. As far as we're concerned, so far we're okay. Right, the cows that they have, you can watch the video. There's two of them that live together. Right, they are, you can't see that closely, but they say that it's perfect in its hair, in its color. It hasn't worked. It's kept away from everything else. And in fact, it's not yet 3 years old. But as we said, it was born on August in 2018. That means at the end of next summer, it will have the requisite years. The question is that enough?
Are the two related?
Which two?
The two. I thought there were two cows.
The two cows? Oh, I don't know. Right. Yes.
You said before that the bar could be used theoretically next year, but how do you overcome the issue of the coin? There's a need.
We will discuss it. Absolutely. So we're going to discuss all of the issues.
We don't have for sure coin.
What about Alex? Can't trust Alex. He has papers. So, there are several issues that still have to be overcome besides that. The first one is a Mishnah in Shkalim. The Mishnah in Shkalim, Paragdal says, Par of the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach, the Lashon Shal Zahuris Bon Mitrumas HaLishka. There are certain karbanos that are paid for by individuals, and there are other things that are paid for by the public. Every year there would be taxes. What is the tax known as? Machzis HaShekel. Everyone gives a half shekel, and with that, they buy all of the karbanos that will be a karban sibur. So every day there is a tamid shel shachar, a tamid shel bein harabayim. Right? Those are paid for the Trumas HaLishka. Right? They have to be paid for by not individuals, they have to be paid by public money. Meaning that the entire Klal Yisrael, every member of the Jewish people, has to pay money towards it. Another example of things that are paid this way is the Para Aduma. The Para Aduma has to be, everybody has to chip in and buy it. That would seem to be a problem. how are we going to collect money from everybody in order to pay for this? So that is problem number one. Next issue is there was a very specific process by which the burning was done. The burning of the Paraduma has to be done in a very specific place, but that specific place is not the Har HaBayis. You're not going to do it on the Temple Mount. Rather, the Mishnah in Midos tells us, Kohak Salam Shayu Sham, Hayu Gavom, Chutzmi Kotam, Zrachi Shakoin, Sorifes Hapara, Ome Barosh Har HaMishnah, Mistabin Baroa, Pistol Shahecho, Bishas HaZayos Hadam. There is a mountain called Har HaMishnah, and that was on the east side of the Har HaBayis. What's on the east side of the Har HaBayis now? What? Har HaZayin? Very good, right? Because we are at the Kotel Ma'aravi, right? So this is the Ma'aravi. The opposite is the east side. So basically there was a place on Har HaZayin. They specifically kept the walls lower on that side of the Temple Mount. So when the Kohen was doing the process of burning the ashes and then mixing it, that could be done on Har HaZayin, looking at the Beis HaMikdash. Right? So we're going to have to know where it is, and we'll have to figure out if you have to look at the Beis HaMikdash, that's going to be very hard to do nowadays because we are missing one Beis HaMikdash. That is another issue to consider. If you look at the Mishnah, let's hold off on that. The Minchas Chinuch starts dealing with this. The Minchas Chinuch offers as follows. He says, Mitzvah Aseh Atziba Liknos Par Adumah Mishum HaShalishba. He says specifically that you have to purchase the paraduma using public funds. Imamon kol Yisrael. It has to be contributed by all of Israel. Kamo kol karbonos tzibur, like any other public sacrifice. And then he quotes an opinion that he says, the yachad misnavdei v'mosro l'tzibur. He said that if there are opinions out there, that in the event one individual would like to pay for the paraduma and then donate it to everybody, that works. So assuming we're going to follow this opinion of the Minchas Chinuch, which we likely do follow, so that's not a problem because we don't have to collect the money, but rather once we have it, and if somebody pays for it, we just say we are now mezakeh, we hereby gift it to everybody else. Okay. That's issue number one. The next issue is the Tosefta. The Tosefta says that ein sorfin es hapara, vein orfin es ha'egla, vein osin zokim mara, ela al pi bezna. In order to burn the para aduma, you require the Sanhedrin of 71 to be there. We are lacking a Sanhedrin at this point. So, truth of the matter is, that could be a problem, but this Tosefta is not quoted in the Gemara. It's not quoted in the Yerushalmi. It's not quoted by the Rambam. This is a Tosefta. The Tosefta is a collection of brisos. So therefore, we can say that if the Gemara doesn't quote it, and the Rambam doesn't quote it, la halacha, we probably have a right to ignore that as well. So that's not a problem. The next issue, as we pointed out, well, wait a second. Don't we have to be facing the Beis HaMikdash as we do it? That seems to be a pasuk in this week's parasha, number 11. V'loch ach alozo akoin midama de'etzva'o, v'hizal nochach pnei omei midama sheva pa'amim. Says that you're supposed to take the blood and sprinkle it towards the olam moed. No, well, boy, how are you going to sprinkle in that direction? How can you be in the higher mission? Unfortunately, we don't have
direction.
That. What?
We know what direction.
Well, no, it's not the direction of the Olamoid, because there isn't.
There.
Right, it's not there. It's the direction of where the Olamoid would be if we had an Olamoid, but we don't. The Chofetz Chaim is very well known for... No, not necessarily. I don't necessarily need a paraduma to build the Beis Hamikdash. I just need it to bring karbanos.
But you can't build. You have to build the Beis Hamikdash on Harabayas. You can't go on the Harabayas if you're tummy.
So, there are different possibilities. One possibility is according to the Shitas Rashi and Shitas Toslos, the Bayis Shlishi is going to come down miraculously. So, according to that, that's not an issue. Right? So,
according to Rav Teichtel, there's going to be both. In his argument.
Rav Teichtel got the summer off. Rav Teichtel. Right.
He makes a pretty convincing argument.
Yeah, it's my focus. Between...
Bias built by man, mm-hmm. And then the heavenly bias descends superimposed upon.
Right. So, again, it's a very. The Rambam definitely holds it's built by man. However, Rashi and Tosfos would seem that they would not really. That's not the simple understanding. The reason is as follows: it says in the it says multiple times in the Gemara talks about the mitzvah of Chadosh, that any grain that grows during the year you're not allowed to eat from it until you bring the carbon home. Nowadays, we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, so we don't have a Karban HaOmer. So therefore, Karban HaOmer is not Ma'akev. On the second day of Pesach, you can already eat it. It says, Rav Yochanan Mezakai made it Takana, that you can't eat Chodesh until the end of the day. Why not? Shema Yibana Beis Hamikdash. Now, I'll be sitting here in Denver, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to eat my grain, without knowing that in Yerushalayim, Taka, the third Beis Hamikdash was built. So Rashi and Tosfos ask, how long does it take to build things in Israel? It's impossible to get built things in Israel. By the time you deal with the Histad Rut and then get the paperwork, forget it. You're telling me that an Arab Pesach, there was no Beis Hamikdash, and now there will be a Beis Hamikdash? So therefore, he says, the answer is that the third Beis Hamikdash will be miraculous. It's just going to come down. So that does not sound like we're going to build it. Al Pi Drush, it's a very nice idea. The Pashup Shat in Rashi tells us it's going to come down, which is an excellent question on these institutes, the Klei Mikdash Museum, who are building the, I guess they're following the Rambam. The Chofetz Chaim is very well known for his work, the Mishnah Berurah. He's also very well known for his work, the Shmiras HaLashon. However, his most impressive work, most people agree, is something called Likutei Halachos. The Chofetz Chaim, one of the major focuses of his life, was the Mashiach. And therefore, he went and he wrote a major work on Kudshim. And in this work on Kudshim, Kachim is the part of the Mishnah, shall we say, that are related to sacrifices and the like. Right? So literally it's holies. So he points out that he explains various shitas, and therefore he says basically based on a Rashba in Shavuos, he says that the fact that the Beis Hamikdash is not there is not ma'akev. You don't actually have to see the building, but if you see the place where the Beis Hamikdash should be, that is good enough. So again, we hold that you don't need a Sanhedrin, right? We hold that just that, in fact, it doesn't have to be from public funds, but one person can donate it, right? We hold that the fact that the Beis HaMikdash isn't there and you can't see the Beis HaMikdash, right, that's also not ma'akev. Right, just look in the direction. You go up on Harazesim, you go to the Intercontinental Hotel, right, you go into the lobby, you burn a cow.
No problem.
No problem. No problem. So that would all seem to be okay. However, there are other issues which are probably more difficult. Again, back to our parsha number 13. It says, "Va'asaf ish tahor eis efer ha'para v'iniach michutz ha'machane b'makom tahor v'hoysar adas b'nei yisrael m'shveres l'meini d'achat hasim." The gathering of the ashes has to be done by an ish tahor. What do we mean by an ish tahor? The person has to be ritually pure. Meaning that in order to do it, you have to be pure. Now we're getting into the catch 22. So you have to be that the person has to be tahor, and the person who is tahor can do this. So how would they ever do this?
Child.
So the way they used to do it is, well, you always prepared the next paraduma before you ran out of last paraduma. Right? So the Mishnah explains that the Kohen would do this, right? Shevas yamim kodem l'sreifas hapara, 7 days before they would burn the heifer. Mafrishin karein hasoreifas hapara mibeso, l'lishka sh'al p'nei habir atzifona. They would take the Kohen out of his house, and they put him in a special room. Ubais Evan Haisa, and it was a stone house. Why stone? Not Makabodari. Stone cannot become impure. So again, it's a place where we know is pure. Umazim Mazin Alov Kol Zayin Hayomim Mikol Chatos Asher Hayusham. Every day for those 7 days, they would sprinkle on him ashes of the Parah Aduma to guarantee that he would be Tahor. He will be the Ish Tahor to do it. So, in fact, you need ashes in order to make ashes. Rav Yossi says you only do it on the third and the seventh day. Still doesn't help us. We still don't have Bilvad.
What if he had someone who was never
so we're gonna so let's discuss whether we can right.
Well, he died from birth.
So we're gonna
never go into a cemetery.
Well, anybody who, for starters, anybody who leaves Eretz Yisrael is Tommy. Right, so Tumat's Eretz Yisrael. So you got to get someone who's in Eretz Yisrael who never came in contact. Now, there aren't a lot of places in the world where we can say that no one's been buried there over the last 5,000 years. Right? There could be someone who's buried 100 feet down from us right now. This could be a Native American burial place and we're in big trouble. So they would specifically use it. Rav Gorin, a chief rabbi of Israel, before that, chief rabbi of the army. Correct. Well-known picture of him blowing shofar. So he was asked this question, and posthumously they published an article on this. He said, "Min b'china halacha ain kol efsharut l'strof par aduma b'blim tzotchila es hakalal." He said, "You cannot make a par aduma until you find the kalal." What's the kalal? They had a stone type of utensil, and they kept there ashes from the original paraduma of Moshe Rabbeinu. Or the second one that Ezra did. Now, just to give you an idea, how many years is Ezra after Moshe?
700 or 800 years.
Right. Okay, we're talking from the time of Moshe to the Binyan Beis Hamikdash is 480. The Beis Hamikdash is around for 410. Right. Then another 70 until Ezra comes back. So 900,000 years. One par aduma lasted all that time. See, if you turn off the lights on the way out, you don't waste. It can last you forever. So he said, until we find this para aduma, ashes from beforehand, we're stuck, Baran said. This is all a waste of time. So he said, so sarfu para aduma misra pamim betkuvas habayis hasheni la'or dvarim berurim elu. He said that if you could find that from the second temple, that'd be great. Right? Until we have that, what is everyone wasting their time with? If Baran asked. If Nebo shall melcha Mashiach, if Lishi is gal rona hechin kenuzim akhlilios shall even they offer tisha paros nisru mishkan ba'ashedi. We will discuss this a little later. We know that there are 9 times that they did this. They put away some of the ashes until we find these stone containers with the ashes. We can't begin the thinking about having our own. Kedei letaher abahem esakohen hamiyur lisav esapara. Until we have this, we can't have an ishtahar. If we don't have an ishtahar, we can't burn it. Yotze shatnaya rishon l'sreifas para aduma oshi yamsi v'deinu akalal sh'efer para sh'nisra for b'alvar k'dei l'tar sakarin l'sreifas esapara. Now, interesting, here's a line. B'meshach shonim achados hayu shtei kvutzos archeologiot notzriot sh'asku b'chipas asher kal sh'efer para aduma. There are, in fact, 2 groups of Christian archaeologists that are looking for it. Misavil Amar Qumran, not far from the Qumran caves. Mishum Shenimsa Kosev Megilas Agnuza Shakitos Shechayu BeEzer Gonzu Shom Kal Sheifa Paras Aduma, because they found a document which says that they hid one away around there. So they are looking for it. But it says that until you find it, right, the Rav Goren says, you're wasting your time. This isn't going to work. Alex raised another possibility. Alex said, if I have someone that's tummy, I can't make them Torah, but what if I make sure somebody never becomes tummy? So in fact, when they would undergo the process of paraduma, so you need 2 things. You need the ashes and you also need water. So how would they get the water to be tar? So the Mishnah in number 16 says as follows. Chatzeros hayu b'Yerushalayim benuyos agabe sela. There were certain areas that were built on stones. B'tachteim cholol. And there was a gap under it. And this gap would stop Tumah from coming up. So again, if there's a reasonable size gap, Tumah can't go through it. Then you have stone. So therefore, if you were standing in this area, you knew that it was 100% tall. They would bring pregnant women to give birth here. And they would raise their children. Then they would bring out these large oxen that were wide. And they put boards on top of them. And then you put these kids on top of these oxen with the boards. And they would have these stone cups. They would go down to the Silwan. Yodu Molum, they would fill them up with water. That's how they would go and they would bring it up. So there's this possibility that you wouldn't make someone tar, but you had these kids who would do this.
Girl kids and boy kids?
What?
Girl kids and boy kids?
No, it says boy kids. So the question becomes, why didn't they do this for the ashes also? So this is an interesting machlokas. The Tiferes Yisrael seems to... Right, you don't want to
raise the child that way until age 13.
Right, no, the problem is, once the child becomes 8, we're worried about Tumas Keri. What? There's other ways that you can become ritually impure. Impure. Right? If you have an emission, that could also. So, what? It doesn't require a para aduma, but the question is that let's say the kid becomes tummy at the wrong time. Right? That's why specifically here they said only up to the age of 8. But the idea being that you don't want an 8-year-old playing with fire. Right? This isn't the type of thing. So therefore the Pharisee Israel said that in Achinami, this would work as well. And in fact, he says in the time of the Ba'ish Cheney, there were times that they had to rely on it. And according to that, we would be able to rely on it as well. In fact, he writes specifically that the reason that we discuss this in the Mishnah is because in this Zman Mashiach, when it comes time to do it, we will do it that way. The Tosfos Yontif disagrees, and the Tosfos Yontif says, no, it wouldn't work. That's a machlokas as to whether you do it that way or not. So there is a so again, we have an issue, right? Where Gurin clearly thought it didn't work. And he's finding the problem with the opinion of the Tosfos Yontif. However, there is an opinion out there that if you have this kid who was brought up in a certain area, I remember years ago reading on Yahoo News that they were advertising for women who'd be willing to give birth in this area and then have their child not leave the area for the next 7-8 years. If you listen, what? Well, you know, it's called quarantine. It's called safer inside. That's what we call it. What? So again, if you listen to this video, if I had any idea how to share the screen, maybe afterwards I'd put it up, right? But they have their, you look it up, Shlomo, Temple Institute. Look up the Temple, look up Temple Institute, Red Heifer. Heifer has an I in it. And it will, you'll probably get it. They say that they have the colonium ready to go. They don't explain what it is, but they say, we've got the guy ready to go. So, according to most opinions, this is a problem. But there is an opinion out there that you have an alternative. There is one further problem to be concerned about, and that's a Rambam. If you look at the Mishnah, number 19, the Mishnah goes through a history lesson of all of the Parah Adumas that ever were brought. It says, Tisha Paras Adumas Nasim. There were 9 of them. From the time that we got the mitzvah until the destruction of the second temple, there were 9 of them. Rishon Asa Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe did number 1. Shmiya Asa Ezra. Ezra did number 2. Mesheva me Ezra ad Chorban. I just skipped. Rishon Asa Moshe. Shmiya Asa Ezra. Chamesh me Ezra ve'elach divrei Rav Meir. Meir says there were 7. Chachamim Omer Sheva me Ezra ve'elach. Says 7. Umi Asan. It does. And who did it? So the Mishnah tells us. In case you're curious. Shimon HaTzadik. He did 1. Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Asu Shtayim. He did 2. Simon said, he goes through the list, he's right. Up to Yeshua ben Fiavi, also Achas Amos. It might not that the need exploded, but again, when you get one, you take it and you burn it. I don't know, it's not a matter, right? You don't give up an opportunity at one of these. The Rambam quotes this, but the Rambam adds a line. Very important line. The Rambam says, Tisha para adumos nasu mishistavu b'mitzvah zu ad shechar habayis hashniya. Same idea. Rishon also Moshe Rabbeinu shniya also Ezra. V'shevim Ezra churban habayis. Here's the added line. V'asiris yase mel hamashiach m'heir yigalim. Amen ken yehi rotzah. The 10th one will be done by the Mashiach. According to this, until you have Mashiach, you can't have a Parah Aduma. However, there's a basic question on the Rambam. And that basic question is, where did he get that from? The Mishnah never said that. There is no earlier source which indicates that Mashiach has to bring the Parah Aduma. So this is a matter of great debate. There's some people out there who come out and say, okay, the Mashiach will do it, but that doesn't mean not before. And for example, it says that ultimately the Mashiach will fight the battles of Klal Yisrael. So up until the Mashiach, we're not going to fight battles? No, we're going to fight battles. So too. He's going to bring the Parah Aduma, and we'll also bring the Parah Aduma. Right. With the invitation. Right. So, you know, that's but the more basic question is, where did he get it from? Are we really bound by this Rambam? What about the first nine? How do they do that? What? The last eight did not have Urim V'Tumim. Right, again, they go with a chazaka. The same way that we eat the hard-boiled eggs. How do I know if there was a blood spot? Huh? Min ha-mutter v'ficha.
That's
looks. Patty, looks aren't everything.
I know that. Marcus, it seems to be everything.
What? No, it's not. Well, there's a lot more to it. So that's the question. So again, there are. So right now we don't have it yet. Right? They recently also, you can watch, they recently burned a different cow. It's just to practice burning cows, in case you're curious.
They slaughter it first.
They slaughter it first, right. Okay. The slaughter, by the way, can be done by a non-Kohen.
Anyone
can do the slaughter. So In some, we're not there yet. But if we get there, the question is, will we be able to do it? The two major issues are the last two. One is, does it require Yemos HaMashiach? Right? Is the Rambam perhaps saying that because we don't have the ability to make someone Torah at this point, inevitably we're going to have to wait till Mashiach? So, the question is, right now, Harazesim is a cemetery.
Right.
And therefore, by definition, when you go there, you will become Natar.
Right.
So the idea is you clear out a place which is okay. But, right, by the pool. So that's a possibility. So, right, so that's the issue right now. So the main issue is this issue of how are you going to get the person taller, right? So they get, it's not impossible, meaning that according to some opinions, it is impossible, right? However, if we would find, right, supposedly there, it's out there. If we would find the leftover ashes, that would work.
But that's a big if.
That's a good.
Yet.
We haven't gotten a red cow either. We've got lots of ifs going on here.
Closer to the red cow.
Well, we'll find out in the next year or so. And if not, this idea of taking the young child, right? So they said that they advertised that they're looking for a Kohen who has never left Israel, who has never gone to a hospital. What? So the question is that enough? Could be not. So that's the issue. So it's an interesting question, and we'll see over the next year or so how this plays out. And my hope, and I'm sure all of our hopes, is that, in fact, within the next year, we'll be able to follow the opinion of the Rambam. And as such, we'll have a Parah Aduma brought by Mashiach. That's the easiest answer. Yes?
Do you have any indication of how the ashes have been stored from way back?
They are stored in a stone vessel. The vessel with the pestle holds the brew. That is true. Okay.